Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Contreras, Texas, on Thursday, February the 24th. And if you're living in the north of Texas, you're probably locked in your house today, not going out because everything is frozen out there with the ice storm. Well, we really didn't get an ice storm. We got rain, a little bit of precipitation. Then, of course, the temperatures dropped, and we're now at, 24, 25. It's supposed to warm up a little bit this afternoon, but it's still going to be dangerous tonight and tomorrow morning. Then next week, I guess we're back to the 60s. So we call it climate change in Texas. You know, the climate changes every 24 hours or something like that. So if you're in North Texas, stay in, because that's the best place to be on a day like this. But we're going to talk a little bit about Ukraine. We're going to talk a little bit about President Biden. Really, one of the problems, there's two numbers that President Biden has to worry about when it comes to Ukraine. I saw the remarks that the president made, I guess, about an hour or so early Thursday afternoon. And, you know, look, he didn't say much. He said that we're going to be united and all this kind of thing. But I don't think he went far enough, frankly, with Putin. I think we have to go, you know, literally make it clear to Putin that what he did is not going to stand, and we're going to bring him down if that's necessary. But unfortunately, President Biden is not doing that. He's still, you know, he's still giving Putin space, frankly, for Putin to somehow survive. But anyway, I think there have to be harsher sanctions, especially now that he's done really the unforgivable. He has actually invaded a country for no reason whatsoever, and that simply cannot stand. I mean, we have to remember President Bush back with Kuwait in 1990 when he said, this will not stand, and it didn't. And that's the kind of firm, tough position that President Biden has to take, and so far I have not seen that from President Biden. These sanctions, again, I don't think they are the toughest sanctions that we could take. We could, for example, kick Russia out of the SWIFT system, which is sort of the banking system. In a sense, we could make it impossible for Russia to cash a check. I mean, imagine if you couldn't go to a bank to cash a check, or your credit card or debit card wouldn't function at all. That's the kind of damage I think we need to, or the kind of sanction that we need against Putin. And that did not happen. That did not happen. But let me give you two numbers that I think are very important right now for President Biden, and they're not good numbers. The first number is the price of gasoline. I just paid $3.34 for a gallon of gasoline, $3.34. For us here in Texas, that's pretty high. Now, I talk to people from across the country who tell me that they're paying $4. A friend of mine in New York paid $4.17 yesterday for gasoline. But the tendency is that gasoline is going up. And this situation in Ukraine is not helping that. The idea that we could be paying $4.50 for a gallon of gas here in Texas is pretty real. We could be. And that, I'm sure, scares the heck out of not just consumers, but people everywhere. So that's the first problem, the first number that President Biden has to worry about, and that is the price of gasoline. And the idea, that a lot of Americans are going to say, wait a minute, why am I paying the price for all of this? Why are you punishing me for this? Which is, in essence, what increases in gasoline do. They punish the American family, the American consumer. The other problem, or the other number that President Biden has to worry about, is the latest poll that I just read about. It was in an Associated Press story. I don't know who did the poll, but it basically says that only 24% of the American people want to get involved in Ukraine. Only 24%. So that means that 3 out of 4 Americans have no interest in getting involved in Ukraine in any capacity. Now, that doesn't mean that they support what's happening in Ukraine. That doesn't mean they think that Putin is a nice guy. That's not what that poll means. What it means is they don't want to get involved. And they don't want to face the consequences. The Americans do not want to be the ones paying higher gasoline prices because of what's happening in Ukraine. So these two numbers, 24% and the price of gasoline, put tremendous pressure on President Biden to finish or to get this done quickly. This cannot go on too much longer, meaning a month or so. You know, these sanctions, we cannot wait a month to see if these sanctions work. Today, President Biden, in that little commentary or press conference that he made, said something along the lines that let's wait a month and see where we are. Well, I can tell you that President Biden does not have a month because public opinion is not with him on this. And waiting a month and then paying $5 for gasoline, that's not going to help them. That's not going to help them. So it's a difficult situation. It's an extremely difficult situation that President Biden finds himself in. And, of course, you have the unity of the allies. I think on the surface, they appear to be unified. But at what point is a country like Germany going to go to war with Russia over Ukraine? That's not going to happen because Germany decided to become very dependent on Russia, natural gas and energy, and they're sort of in bed with Russia. They really cannot do anything about it. Now, one thing that I was hoping that President Biden would do today in this comment or commentary or speech that he gave, I wish he would have said something that I think would have had an impact on the world. I think he should have said, effective tomorrow, we are going to completely unleash American energy production. And we're just going to tell every American energy provider, explorer, whatever, to go out and dig up as much oil as possible because we're going to flood the market with American oil. We got that. We got the oil, so it's not like we couldn't do it. And in a sense, I wish he would adopt the energy policy of President Trump. President Trump understood clearly the connection between high gasoline prices and the American family. If you have cheap gasoline, you have an American family. But if you're producing energy, this also gives a tremendous national security advantage when you're doing business with somebody like Putin. Or you could say, hey, don't worry about Putin. We're going to take care of you because we've got so much oil, we can take care of you and France and everybody else in that part of the world. I wish that President Biden had done that today and actually shown the world just how capable the United States is when it comes to energy. He didn't. He didn't. And why he didn't, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure who he is trying to pander to, because, I mean, if he's pandering to the climate change activists, well, that's not going to help him politically. You know, he's got to pander. If he's going to pander to anybody, he's got to talk to the American family, or the ones paying, as my case, $3.34 for a gallon of gasoline. So he's got some problems. President Biden has some very serious problems. He doesn't have any easy choices, and he seems unwilling to take it to Mr. Putin. And when I say take it to Mr. Putin, I'm not talking about the military. I'm simply talking about energy, just unleashing American energy production. And if necessary, cut off the Russians from SWIFT. SWIFT is the banking system. Like I said before, you know, if you cut off Russian from SWIFT, they're not going to be able to go anywhere and cash a check, okay, anywhere in the world. So those are the kinds of tough actions that you have to take against a guy like Putin at this stage of the game. You know, he's already done the unthinkable. He's already sent troops into Ukraine. We're no longer talking about, you know, a small incursion. We have an invasion. And we got to react to it as strongly as possible. Now, another thing, too, that we're going to have to realize is that I think actually occupying Ukraine is going to end up being a lot more complicated for Putin than he thinks. It's not going to be easy occupying Ukraine. It's a big country. Those are people who like their country, and they're going to defend their country. Now, they could be crushed. I understand that, because you can send in the tanks, and you can send in the planes, and you can crush them down. But that doesn't mean they're not going to fight back. You know, that doesn't mean they're not going to fight back. So it's complicated. But what makes it even more complicated is that you don't get the feeling that the president of the United States is using all of the power that he has. And this would have been the day, today would have been the day for the president to say, okay, I'm done with Putin. I'm tired of what he's doing. And this is what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to unleash our energy production, and we're going to kick him out of SWIFT so they cannot cash any checks. That's what you have to do. But we're not doing that. You know, we're not doing that. I don't know what we're doing. We're sanctioning. I'm not saying that he didn't do sanctions, but you know, we got two big bullets, and he has not fired them. Energy production, and we're going to take you out of SWIFT. Those two, those are the two bullets that actually would hurt Putin a great deal. Just a couple of other quick stories today. You know, that investigation in New York, the investigation of Donald Trump, the business investigation, apparently a couple of the prosecutors in that investigation have resigned. Not exactly sure what that means. It could mean that the investigation is going nowhere. I've always felt that that is a highly politicized invasion, and that needs to stop. That investigation needs to stop, because I don't think that it's going to go anywhere. Look, Trump has lived and done business in New York for 50 years, and I'm sure he's been audited a million times, so it's kind of hard to believe that all of a sudden they're going to find out something they didn't find out before. So I think it was highly political, and it should stop right away. Another interesting thing that I read today is that one of the members of the squad, this is one of those four ladies in the Congress who represents, you know, the left wing of the Democrat Party, one of them is going to do the response to President Biden, meaning someone of his own party is going to do a response to a President Biden, a Democrat President Biden. And I think that one of these ladies is going to be speaking before one of these left-wing parties. So that tells you right there the divisions within the Democrat Party are pretty severe, as we saw recently with AOC coming to Texas to do campaigning to unseat two Democrats here in Texas who have a pretty good bet of getting reelected. And she's going to come down and promote their primary opponent. So we'll see. We'll see how that works out. And last but not least, I want to say happy number 66 to Eddie Murray. Now, baseball fan, you know who Eddie Murray is. Hall of Fame first baseman. He played with the Baltimore Orioles. Just a great, great player, great switch hitter. He would hit home runs from either side of the plate. One of the best switch hitters of all time, along with some Mickey Mantle. So we say happy number 66. I don't know what Eddie Murray is doing these days, but whatever he's doing, I hope he has a very happy number 66 birthday. And one on this day in history, interesting little thing. On this day in 1868, President Andrew Johnson was impeached. Now, the trial eventually went to the acquitted in the Senate by one vote. But this was, by all accounts, most historians look at that impeachment as a purely political impeachment, that it was just basically forced on the country. And thankfully, President Johnson survived. He never ran for election in 1868. He dropped out of politics, and Ulysses Grant was elected in 1868. But the first impeachment happened on this day in 1868. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for your attention. Thanks for listening. And if today is your birthday, happy birthday. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.